One of the greatest aspirations of mankind is to know God. And the problem with knowing God is that we're not willing to walk through the door that permits us to know God. And that doorway is called obedience. And Jesus spoke about that repeatedly in his remarks to his disciples in preparing them for their ministry. The book of John contains several statements in which Jesus implied that obedience was the doorway through which we would experience the presence of God in our lives. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 23 specifically, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." That is, he will be obedient. "And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Jesus could not have said it any plainer. Clearly, he establishes the principle of obedient relationship with God. Once we've denied ourselves, we're prepared to obey him. And perhaps that's our problem. Perhaps that's the world's problem. It has yet to deny self and make preparation to be obedient to God. Furthermore, we cannot continue to do things our way and hope to accomplish God's purposes in his ways. And so, we have to condescend to the ways of God. We have to submit to his way and place our way behind us. We cannot stay where we are and expect to be where he is. We must move in his direction. We must follow him. Furthermore, as we look at the concept of obedience, we discover that obedience is the outward expression of our love for God. In sequence, it goes like this. God reveals himself to us by issuing his commandments, and then we obey him. What we would like to do this evening is to look at four or five characteristic thoughts and traits of obedience, or the opposite, disobedience. First of all, let's establish the meaning of obedience. How would you describe obedience? Well, I can tell you how Jesus did. He used a story. A very simple story, and yet one that is based upon common grounds, and that happens every day across our world. It's found in Matthew chapter 21. Three short verses, 28, 29, and 30. Jesus said, "What do you think?" Now that's an interesting question to begin a story. What do you think? What do you think about what? And so Jesus said, "A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.'" I can just imagine me saying that to my father when I was growing up. "But afterward, this son regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go." Now, Jesus tells this story, of course, to illustrate the meaning of obedience. Obedience simply means to do what is commanded of you, what is asked of you. Obedience is choosing God's way. God said, "I'd like for you to do this." When you do it, you have been obedient. When you don't do it, you have been disobedient. Simply put, clearly established, that's it. But you see, too many people want God to give them special assignments, when at the same time they have neglected His simple, common commandments, and of course His will. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were guilty of this very thing. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, a series of woes is spoken of by Jesus in regards to this matter. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Now what is Jesus saying here? He is saying that the scribes and Pharisees were so meticulous about being sure that they fulfilled the requirements of the tithe that they even tithed the small amount of spices and otherwise items in your grocery list or in your pantry or in your kitchen. And in lieu of that, left important matters such as the law, justice and mercy and faith untouched or undone. You see, the moment of truth comes when we obey God. We cannot obey Him unless we believe and trust Him. Now, I'm fixing to draw a circle in your mind. So follow me if you will. I'm saying, first of all, that we cannot obey Him unless we believe and trust Him. So belief and trust is at the top of our circle. But we cannot believe and trust Him unless we love Him. And so we move to the next quarter of the circle. We must love Him and trust Him. But we cannot love Him and trust Him unless we know Him. That's the second quarter of the circle. We're down at the bottom now. But we cannot love Him unless we know Him. And we cannot know Him until we obey Him. So the circle comes full cycle, and it operates and functions in our lives in that sequence and in that arrangement. We cannot obey Him unless we believe and trust Him. Now we may fake it, and we may pretend to be obedient, but unless we believe and trust Him, our obedience will not, cannot, and should not be accepted. But we cannot believe Him and trust Him unless we love Him. And we cannot love Him unless we know Him, and we cannot know Him until we obey Him. And so we come full cycle meeting ourselves. Now you have to think about that for a moment, maybe a little bit longer. But that is the essence of how obedience is involved in our circular thinking with God in the center. John says something about this, in essence, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. He says this, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." Matthew 7, 21 and 22 also illustrates this relationship. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out many demons, and in your name done many wonders?' And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or disobedience. The preacher of a local congregation made an effort to impress upon his people the need of being honest about their obedience. And so at the conclusion of his sermon one Sunday evening, he said, I would like for all of you to read the 6th chapter of the book of Colossians for homework for next Sunday evening's lesson. Well, next Sunday evening came around, and at the outset of his lesson, he said, well, all of you who read Colossians chapter 6, please raise your hand. There were about a half a dozen who did so. He said, I'm sorry to inform you, but there is not a 6th chapter of Colossians. Sometimes we get carried away by our own disobedience. And when we do, we are in trouble. Well, perhaps that defined essence of obedience will help us to look at the second trait of obedience, and that is its importance. We've already alluded to that. But obedience is never questioned. There are no options, that's why. Obedience is always right and is always the best. We do not question God's directions. Rebellion against God is the opposite of obedience. It is a serious rejection of God's will. God warned the children of Israel way back in the days of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The importance of obedience is seen in the judgment placed upon disobedience. The benefits of obedience, on the other hand, in contrast, are beyond our imagination. How important obedience is, it is the difference between being lost and being saved. It is the difference between heaven and hell. It is the difference between rejoicing and being sad. How important is obedience? Obedience is as important as this. It brings success. Disobedience brings failure. Yes, obedience is important. Well, the third trait of obedience that seems to jump out at us is the cost. We cannot know and do the will of God without personal adjustments in our lives. Call them costs, if you wish. But sometimes we do not want to make those adjustments because of the costs. In John chapter 6, verse 66, after Jesus had met with the people who were following him, and he preached to them, he said some very difficult things. And verse 66 of John 6 tells us, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What's the problem? The problem is obedience costs too much. It demands a change of our life. It requires that we consider what Jesus challenged the people of his day with, who came seeking to be his followers and disciples. He said, if you would come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That statement pretty well represents the cost of obedience. Sometimes, obedience to God's will brings on opposition and persecution and multiple sufferings. Paul wrote, for example, in Galatians 6 and 17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Obedience. It is said of Jesus that he learned obedience by the way of the cross. Paul, in an effort to quiet the criticism of his opponents in the city of Corinth and in the church itself, he wrote to them and said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, night and the day I've been in the deep. He goes on and he says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then he said, besides all these things, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, that is the care of all the churches. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying that there is a cost for obedience. That sometimes, when we're obedient, we suffer. But it's good suffering, if there is such a creature. The cost of obedience. But obedience brings great reward and many blessings. The exhortation to the children of Israel is an example for us today. And we've been looking at some of those examples in the Old Testament on Wednesday night. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 9, the prophet said, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the works of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he will again rejoice over your fathers. Now, in addition to the spiritual blessings that come from being obedient, we stand to receive rejoicing for good in our lives because of obedience. We do what is expected of us. We are obedient to God, to his beauties, to his creation, to his land. Let me give you an illustration of a physical goodness that comes through obedience, which in turn is respecting the ground in which we grow our crops, from which we eat our grain, our vegetables, and our Irish potatoes. There were 4 of us traveling to central Georgia. We were looking at a little town there in east central Georgia, west of I-75, that had featured some crafts. In fact, the whole town was turned into sort of a craft center. And we were there in behalf of our PTA in Mount Dora. on our return, we went cross-country directly east to I-75. As we left that little town and went into the country, we saw the farmland that had not been cultivated for some time, and weeds and thistles and thorns had grown up. And then about 5 or 10 miles down the road, it was as if someone took a curtain and opened it to a stage of wonderment. Someone had resurrected that land, made it productive again by simply being obedient to the requirements of maintenance of land and its richness. And being who I was and my background, I said to the other gentleman, I'll guarantee you, if you had a $10 bill, I'd take it from you, because I believe that some Mennonites, some Amish people live in this area. And they've come in here and resettled this land and have refurbished it, being obedient to the principles of farming. Sure enough, Charlie, about a mile or two down the road, over on the right, was a smorgasbord operated by an Amish family. I didn't demand my $10, but I could have. When we obey the principles of life, when we obey God in the sequence of living daily, we will be blessed. God promises people, I will be your God, you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. We are part of the family of God, and so we stand to benefit from obedience to the head of that family, who is God. We're fortified against the storms of life by a sure and solid foundation when we are obedient to His will. Our obedience opens the door of spiritual knowledge. I don't know whether you ever thought of it this way or not, but when you open your daily newspaper in the morning, and you see on the front page a terrible happening in the lives of people. People perhaps you may know or may have known. I'll guarantee you that at the foundation and base and cause of those terrible happenings is disobedience. The man who ran the red light. The man who was drunk and ran over 3 pedestrians. The man who cheated on his wife and was shot to death by her. The teenager who was told by his parents, be in by 1 o'clock, came in drunk at 3. Disobedience causes the calamities of life, for the most part, and they cause great suffering. In contrast, there is great blessing for those who are obedient. Disobedience, therefore, is costly. In Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul draws this contrast. He says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Now that's what he said in Romans 2. And then a few years later, he wrote to the Thessalonian church, and here's what he said. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Obedience versus disobedience. And we choose disobedience. We're not very smart. It's going to cost us, down the pike, if not now, greatly. On the other hand, if we're obedient, God will bless us immensely, beyond our imagination. No system of measurement is possible to measure the greatness of our blessings that come through obedience. May we help you to be obedient to the Lord tonight. May we help you complete your gospel obedience to the saving of your soul by repenting of your sins, by confessing the name of Jesus, and by being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. We do this in helping you to receive a blessing from obedience. All together we stand and sing.